الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حسن إسلام المرء تركه ما لا يعنيه أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Very often, there are issues, problems between people, and these result from either miscommunication, sometimes due to a lack of communication. So the miscommunication also is a problem, big problem. Lack of communication also is a problem. And sometimes we get ourselves in big problems because we got involved in communication that we shouldn't have got involved in. We get involved in news, in things that we should have had nothing to do with it. So this is always an issue that comes up. Somebody said something, somebody didn't understand it correctly, somebody didn't say it correctly, somebody passed on some information which was not verified. And these create problems in families, it creates problems in the workplace, it creates problems in society, it creates problems between people in a masjid. So even information is not just something that can be just taken as it comes and passed on as it comes and just put a disclaimer at the bottom, forwarded as received, and think that everything is fine. I bear no responsibility in this. No, this is an extremely important thing of how a person receives information, how he accepts it, and what he passes on. And all this refers to essentially the tongue. And nowadays even, and it always was there, but nowadays it has become more the extended tongue. The extended tongue is now the fingers, which is typing away on social media and various other platforms, and passing on information like never before. So we need to understand what is the manner in which this has to be handled, what are the guidelines of deen in regard to this information. So to get some idea of this, take one incident in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Banu Mustalik tribe had come into Islam. So the leader, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also had accepted Islam. And after whatever other discussion had taken place, one of the things that was confirmed is that on a certain date, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will send somebody to come and collect the zakat of this tribe. Because this was among the fundamental things that used to be presented. Somebody became a Muslim. So the fundamentals of deen after iman, the most important is salah. Salah would be emphasized, highlighted, the details would be taught, because salah in the life of a Muslim is like the head in the body. Person not having a head, how is he going to be living? So a mu'min without salah in his life, what kind of life would that be? So therefore this was the most important thing that was always presented. And alongside that, zakat. So this too was also confirmed on a certain date, the zakat would be collected, somebody would come from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, this was all decided and determined. On that appointed day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dispatched Walid bin Uqba radiallahu ta'ala an, that you go and collect the zakat of this tribe and bring it back. So he went along. On the other side, these people were aware that on a certain day, the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be coming. he will be coming to collect the zakat. So they had, out of honoring the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they went well in advance out of the town itself on the outskirts, and they are waiting for him, that when he comes we will receive him, we will welcome him. As the sahabi comes, now we should bear in mind that these people were going through a learning curve. The sahaba ikram also learned things as it went along, but the difference between them and us was that they had to be taught something once, and that was it. That became part and parcel of their lives. We hear it dozens of times, we still are trying to find out when to start practicing on it. So in the process, they sometimes made some mistakes, but that mistake was corrected once, and that was it. The ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed to correct their mistakes, and that was part and parcel of their life thereafter. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they heard, and that became part of their life. So in any case, this sahabi now, as he's coming, he sees far in the distance, people are all waiting. And suddenly something starts running through his mind. That before Islam, there were some issues between himself and this tribe. So now, there was some old enmity, which after Islam, all this was over, but it was still recent. But now suddenly this thought crossed his mind, that are these people out here waiting just to pounce on me to settle the old scores? Shaitan just whispered one thought and he became afraid. But this was something that just came strongly in his mind and heart, that this is the reason these people are standing outside here. Their objective was different. They were standing there to receive him, welcome him. And this came in his mind. Any case, he took a U-turn and came away. And according to what came to his mind at that time, what came into his heart, what he strongly believed, whereas it was not the reality, he came and related only his belief to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That as I was approaching, these people were waiting out there. Now why they were waiting, he didn't ask them. But this was in his mind, that they were waiting to now pounce on me. He mentioned that accordingly. That they were ready to now kill me. So I quickly returned without collecting the zakat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very disturbed at this, but the correct procedures had to be adopted. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala with an army. But he says to him that before you do anything, first investigate the matter. First verify this information. Now this is a very important point. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent him. He comes to the outskirts, then he dispatches 2-3 people as spies. You first go and investigate properly what's going on here. They spend the night, they come back the next day, they say, we have seen these people, they are sincere Muslims from what we can observe. We heard the azan also, we witnessed their salah as well. It seems like there's something has got mixed up here, there's some problem in the way the information came. So therefore, we don't think that there's a problem with the people. So he comes, Khalid bin Walid, comes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he explains, this is what we found. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the meantime, this leader of Banu Mustalik, he was very also disturbed that the envoy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was supposed to have come, collected the zakat, but he didn't come. So he came along with the zakat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him that, what was your intention regarding my envoy? He says, what intention? We had no idea, we never interacted with him. So he calls that sahabi, he says, where you got this from? He says, well, this came to my mind at that time. On that occasion, this ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in fatabayyanu. That if somebody who is unreliable comes to you with some news, don't just take it wholesale. Fatabayyanu. Verify it first. Investigate it. Is this genuine? Is this correct? Is this accurate? Sometimes something is there, it's correct, but it's not accurate. There are some important aspects that got left out, which makes a whole difference to what really is being related. Sometimes a person got his perceptions involved in it and mixed up his own perceptions, like happened in this instance. So Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالًا. It should not be that you harm some people out of ignorance. That now you receive some news, you acted on that news, you went and said something to somebody else, you went and did something somewhere, whereas all that was unfounded, unjustified in any way. Now you harm someone, you broke somebody's heart, you hurt somebody's feelings, or worse still, people take physical action when they did something. أَنْتُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. Now you start regretting what you did, but now it's too late to regret because the damage is done. So this investigating first, verifying it. So this comes to the point that we started off on, that news, information, this is something that's flying around all the time, every moment, especially nowadays with the technology and this advancement in technology and the social media and whatever else. This is a constant, non-stop issue that information is going back and forth. But how do we process this information? So we have clear guidelines in Deen. The first thing is that we get some information, we hear something, we receive something. If it doesn't pertain to us, it doesn't relate to us, don't get into it. A person says, but what's the problem? Why shouldn't I bother about it? Why shouldn't I get into it? Why shouldn't I read it? Why shouldn't I listen to it? Doesn't matter, it doesn't relate to me. If there isn't any benefit in one's deen or dunya in it, one is there is some deeni benefit, well and good. Or is some benefit to one in one's dunya, fine. Within the limits of Shariat it is, that's too fine. But if it's neither these things, neither benefit to a person's deen, nor is he going to benefit him in his dunya in any way, doesn't relate to him in any way, then when a person still makes it his habit to get into it, and unfortunately this is not just a habit, it has become an addiction. There are people with various addictions, there are people with news addiction. And every bit of news, anywhere and everywhere it comes from, they have to read that news, take that news in, digest it, and Allah forbid what kind of indigestion happens thereafter. So, if it doesn't relate to us, don't get into it. What happens is often a person now, anything and everything he takes, then he can't keep it within himself, so he has to talk about it. Often what he's talking about is gossip. It is ghibat. Or what he's forwarding, he's pressing one button, send to all. But what is he sending? What is he sending is nothing but gossip, it's ghibat. Now sometimes he's got 100 contacts and he's pressed one button, sent to all. Previously for a person to make ghibat 100 times might take him 100 days. Or it might take him at least 1 week. Because he'll talk to 5 people here, then after a while he'll talk to 10 people, then maybe he'll talk to 2 people. It might take 10 days to make ghibat of 100 times. Now he made ghibat 100 times at the press of a button. Because he passed on that gossip to 100 people at the press of a button. So even if it was true, but very often it tantamounts to ghibat. That crime which Rasulullah ﷺ has, which the Quran Sharif has described in such a way that creates a very abhorrent image in the mind. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيَّأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُهُ. The picture the Quran Sharif is giving, so that a person, when that even the thought of ghibat comes, this picture must flash through his mind, and it must stop him right there. That a person, his brother has passed away, his Muslim brother has passed away. Now, when a person passes away, after a while what happens is obvious, is known, that the body starts, after a while, starts decomposing. And then that stench, and whatever else happens, can we imagine somebody eating out of that body? The Quran Sharif depicts this picture. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَيَّأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Does any one of you like to eat out of the dead body of his brother? Impossible, can't imagine it. So Allah Ta'ala says, fear Allah Ta'ala in regard to ghibat also. This is like that. So often at that press of that button, that information came, the person is saying send. That disclaimer doesn't mean anything. Forwarded as received means nothing. In the Hadith Sharif, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ كَذِبًا أَن يُحَدِّثَ بِكُلِّ مَا سَمِعَ. Sometimes a person says, well, I'm just forwarding. But often there's lies involved in it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, this much is sufficient for a person to be a liar. That he starts relating everything he hears. Whatever he heard, he's just relating. In the process, he's passing on lies as well. So it's not a minor thing, it's a very major thing. And therefore there's so much of emphasis in the Quran Sharif, in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about what a person, how he takes it, what he passes on. Sometimes something might be correct. What he heard might be 100% correct. And he even verified it from the source. But does it mean everything that he heard and he verified also, he has to pass it on? That's not necessary. In fact, sometimes it's necessary not to pass it on. Because sometimes it'll be ghibat. So just to understand this again further from another incident that took place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how the Quran Sharif highlighted this. There was an incident that took place where once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was returning from a journey, and Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha somehow, it's a lengthy incident just to get to the crux of it, she went for some need of hers, and in the process the caravan left. They didn't realize she wasn't in. The munafiqeen found an opportunity here, the hypocrites, they started slandering her. And this rumor started spreading. And for 1 month there was no wahi, there was no revelation. As a result, Rasulullah ﷺ was extremely disturbed, hurt. The sahaba were in a very, very difficult moment. And the munafiqeen were just going on with this rumor, false rumor, the slander. Some sincere Muslims also somehow unwittingly got involved in it. And eventually the ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. One ruku of the Quran Sharif was revealed, highlighting the chastity and the purity of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And what a terrible slander this was. Now there are various ayat, on whole ruku, but there are various ayat that give us the guidelines. This is initially it was revealed regarding this incident, but these are the principles by which we have to live. Among the ayat that were revealed on this occasion, Allah Ta'ala says, لَوْلَا إِسْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينٌ. When you heard this, the first thing is the thought. Person's thoughts start running. Allah Ta'ala says, when you heard this, you had no idea of the reality. Why didn't the Muslims think good of one another at that time? Meaning one another, somebody is being spoken about, somebody is being referred to, and somebody is hearing about it. Somebody is receiving information about it. Why those receiving the information didn't think good about those who are being referred to? That this is the first duty of a Muslim. ظُنُّوا بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ خَيْرًا. Think good of your fellow Muslim. Until you don't have any kind of clear evidence about something, you have no right to harbor any suspicion. You may be, take your precautions. If there's something you're not sure about, there's something you're concerned about, something is not looking right, take your precautions by all means. But together with taking the precautions, you can't make any judgmental. Because you have no idea of the reality. So Allah Ta'ala says, why didn't you think good of your fellow Muslim? ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. Then where's the evidence? لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. These people started passing on that slander. This person did this and that person did that. Allah Ta'ala says, why didn't you bring 4 witnesses? If you don't have the 4 witnesses, you are the liar. This is the principle the Quran Sharif lays down. If you spoke without the evidence, then you are the liar. فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنَّ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. And then you took it as a minor thing, as a trivial thing, that you just passed on something. Allah Ta'ala says, you should have been very, very concerned that this is not a minor thing. إِسْتَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٌ. And you were just talking about it and disseminating it with your tongues. You had no knowledge about the reality. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You were regarding it as trivial. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, it is extremely serious. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You regard it as a minor thing, forwarded as received, small thing. What are you forwarding? What's the verification of it? And after verification, is it still something to be forwarded? تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You regard it as a minor thing, as a trivial thing. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, it is extremely severe. عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And then further Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. That those who like to spread immorality among the people, among the believers. Spreading immorality, there's some immoral news. A person is forwarding that. Even if it is correct, it's immoral. Now, what is he doing? He's spreading immorality. Somebody's going to read that. His mind is going to start going in that direction. There's some kind of whatever news is carrying on. People find this kind of news very juicy. So now they have to chew on it and they have to share it also. But what is he spreading? He's spreading vice. He's spreading immorality. Allah Ta'ala didn't say here that if it is true or untrue. It's spreading immorality. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In this particular instance, many, many vices, sins, the warning is of punishment in the akhirat. But there are some sins where the warning of punishment and harm and destruction is already in dunya. For example, a person who commits zulm, injustice, the warning is he will see the consequences of it already in dunya. It comes faster than anything else. Person who is disobedient to his parents, the effects and the disaster of that comes in dunya before akhirat. Likewise, in this case, Allah Ta'ala says, those who like to disseminate and pass on and spread this kind of immorality, lahum adabun alimun fid dunya wal akhirah. For them is a severe punishment in this very world before what comes in akhirat. It's just that, as they say, that Allah Ta'ala's hiding doesn't come with a whoop. It's not necessary we'll see a whoop coming down from the skies and that whoop will physically whoop one. But the whoop of Allah Ta'ala comes in unseen ways. And very often a person is bewildered. What happened? Where it came from? How did this happen? Where's the link? The link is what we were saying. The link is what we were forwarding. The link is how we were handling information. That we were spreading immoral information. So, if it doesn't relate to us, we stop right there. مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي. That this is the beauty of the Islam of a person. That Islam makes this beauty come in him. That what doesn't concern him, he leaves it out. Doesn't concern my deen, doesn't concern my dunya, stay out of it. And then, if it is something that relates to him, he has to investigate it, get to the source. If it relates to him, first verify it. After verifying it, then to still analyze that, is this really necessary to pass on to anybody? Or who is it necessary to pass on to? It might be okay, necessary to pass on to a particular person. But now must it be passed on to everybody? Not everybody has the ability to handle that information correctly. So this is an extremely important thing. On one occasion, there was this rumor that spread among the Sahaba Ikram that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had divorced his wives. This was like a bolt of lightning. And it was like the ground came out of under their feet. And some Sahaba were just now gathered in the masjid and they're just weeping. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu heard about it. So when he heard about it, now some people heard about it, they already started passing on the information to others. This is what I heard. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu heard about it. When he heard about it, he came straight to the masjid and then he sees what's going on. People are sitting in groups and somebody is crying. Then he inquires where is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just to get to the crux of it. He comes and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he speaks to him. Various things are discussed. Then he asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you really divorce your wives? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, I didn't do this. So he says, can I go and explain to the people? He says, by all means. So he comes and stands at the door of the masjid and he says, لَمْ يُطَلِّقِنْ نَبِيُّ سَلَّى نِسَاءَهُ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi did not divorce his wives. That matter got cleared there. But on that occasion, an ayat of the Quran Sharif was revealed. That وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. That when any matter of fear or safety, something that makes a person fearful, or something was some harm, there was some concern about some enemy or whatever it might have been, now the news has come, now everything is fine. Either way, when this news comes, they just start publicizing it. Allah Ta'ala is saying, this should not be the case. Either way, this should not be the case. ولو ردوه إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم. That had they rather referred it to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going to be in dunya for a limited time. After him, Nabi Allah ta'ala says, وَإِلَىٰ أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ, and to the people of authority. Had they referred it to the people of authority, then those who are able to extract the correct reality from the source, they would have brought the accurate information to them. Like Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu did, he came to the source, he found out what is the reality, and he brought out the accurate information. Now others somehow, they just passed on what they heard, they were shocked, in that moment of shock they said something, others now passed it on to others, but that wasn't correct. But the person of authority among them at that time, in his level, was Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an. He came and verified it from the source. Now that is that lesson, that a person comes and verifies it from the source. This is now one important point in itself, but just to on the extension of that, we'll finish off with this, that one is a matter of some news about something, about fear, some security concern, whatever else in this regard, but this is broader than that. The Mufassirin explain that this was news is also something new. Anything new, refer it to those who are in authority. Who is in authority? Among the various levels of authority, the ulama-i-kiram, the fuqaha. Person hears something new, some new ideology, some new practice which nobody ever heard about before. Some kind of thing that now what is established from so long, somebody is saying something against it. Like every now and again we hear something, somebody will come and say, well, this 20 rakat tarawih is not established. Why it's not established? Where you got this from? No, well, I was listening to one YouTube clip. So that has become the source of our deen, YouTube. Who is this person? What is his authenticity? Where is he getting his information from? What are his sources? What are his credentials? We have no idea. But somebody can articulate something in a very, very eloquent manner, or somebody can write something in a very captivating way. So but that becomes the source of our information. What is the authenticity of it doesn't mean anything. What is the end result of this? The end result of this is destruction in deen and dunya sometimes also. So this also is included in this. Refer it to those who have that true knowledge. This is what I heard. Is it correct? To start off with, don't hear anything and everything. Because we don't have that manner, the ability to discern what is genuine, what is now somebody else's imagination. What is authentic, what is not authentic. Not everybody's job. We take it from those who have that knowledge. We take it from those who are authentic. And then inshallah we will be rightly guided. People have, mashallah, followed that path for centuries. And they safely passed through their deen and went to the akhirat. Inshallah we'll also pass in the same way. So coming back just to sum up that main aspect that we were discussing. This information is very delicate, very sensitive. Misinformation also causes problem. Disinformation causes problems. Lack of information causes problems. And getting involved in information that doesn't relate to us also causes problems. It causes problems for us, for our deen also, for our dunya also. And it causes so many difficulties sometimes in families, in workplaces and wherever else, because of lack of verification, lack of understanding how to handle information. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we bring in all the teachings of deen in our life and we practice according to the Quran and Sunnah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.